Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Get Yourself the Job. This is Allison Garrido. I am subbing for Jen today while she's traveling. I'm really grateful to have my wonderful guest, Tracy Beard. I've been joking a little bit that we can call this show Get Your Kid the Job instead of Get Yourself the Job. Tracy's really an expert in helping students understand what their career path could be. She solves the frustration that high school students and university students and their parents experience in identifying that ideal career path. Tracy uses psychometric tools, personalized coaching strategies, and genuine concern to help her clients get excited about their career possibilities. Tracy also has a really exciting new endeavor called Kids Matter NZ. It helps parents take a holistic approach to supporting students in career exploration. And Tracy's recently won the Social Conscious Excellence Award in the Network New Zealand Business Awards. That was just a few weeks ago. Last year, she was a finalist for the BDO Professional Service Awards. So it's been really wonderful as a friend of Tracy to see all the accolades she's receiving and attention for the really, really important work she does. So welcome, Tracy. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Allison. It's lovely to be here.
Wonderful. And as people may have noted, I am saying Network NZ. So Tracy is joining us like Catherine did last week from Christchurch, New Zealand. It's pure coincidence that I just know these two very talented ladies who happen to know each other and are located in the same city. So it's a real treat to have a real international show for 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, it's quite a novelty, probably having a few New Zealand accents on your show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a treat to get that global perspective.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
So Tracy, why don't you start by sharing with us just a little bit about your career path? What led you to doing this work?
Okay. Well, I think about back to when I was at high school and thinking about my career path, I was in high school and I wanted to, when I leave high school, I wanted to get a degree through university and I wanted to leave home. And both of those ideas weren't ones that my parents supported for their own reasons. And so I decided I would join the military and I joined the Defence Force here in Christchurch, and that allowed me to leave home and they put me through a degree course through the military, which was really what I sought to do. I spent 15 years in the military. Great people, lots of experience, but the work itself, it was good, but it wasn't great. It didn't excite me. It didn't get me up in the morning thinking, wow, this is really cool stuff to do. And I kept thinking, okay, there must be something wrong with me. I need to get another qualification. I need to work harder. I need to put myself out there more. I need to be more confident. All these kind of things I was trying to identify as the thing I needed to do in order to make that work exciting. And it wasn't until I left the military and went overseas, I moved with my husband and young son up to Dubai, and we lived up there for 10 years. And during that time up there, I was given an opportunity to work for a leadership development company, and they were working a lot with the locals, helping them develop their skills and leadership, communication, teamwork, problem solving, all those kind of things, using psychometric profiles, role playing, interview skills training, all those kind of things. And I loved that work. It was a wonderful opportunity for me. And when I got to work with those people, I realized they were my people. They were the ones that got me, who accepted me, and I could get on with them. And I realized through that training that my time in the military, there was nothing wrong with it, but they weren't quite my people. And that's why it did gel. And so for a while there, it was me kicking myself, thinking there was something wrong with me, but they weren't quite my people. And when you find your people, that's when you do your best work. And that's, for me, is when my career took off. The self-awareness I built, the knowledge that I got about how to develop yourself in the world of work, why people pick the jobs they do, the science behind the workplace. I loved all that kind of stuff. And so that put me on that sort of path. And then in 2008, we moved back to New Zealand. And I had two sons at that stage, young sons, and they were at high school. And as part of my training that I had done at Dubai, I had learned how to use a career psychometric profile, which is useful for young adults. And I thought, well, that would be good because I've got two boys. They probably won't listen to me when they're teenagers. And I thought it would be a good tool, a fact-based tool that boys could resonate with. It would help them in terms of their career selection. So I just put it back in my toolbox, really, to bring out the time that I thought would be helpful. But then in 2011, we had the earthquakes here in Christchurch. Significant earthquakes really disrupted our life. We lost a lot of people. And I noticed that a lot of young adults, very capable, very successful young adults, kind of lost their way after the earthquakes. They were so stuck in the daily chaos of what was happening. There was a lot of uncertainty. We had thousands of aftershocks, which was a lot of them were significant. And these young adults, a lot of them lost their confidence. They didn't see the point in studying or doing well, or, you know, they didn't see the point of success when all this chaos was happening around them. So I started using that career profile that I'd learned for my own children. I started using that for these young adults that I knew through friends and family. And I was just doing it on a volunteer basis. I figured that was my way of giving back after the earthquake. And it really just sort of took off from there. I could see the difference it made to these young adults. It helped them lift their perspective beyond the chaos of the day to say, okay, how could I use my skills in the rebuild of Christchurch? How could I use the knowledge I've got about myself to take a more positive path and not get frustrated or stressed out by the day-to-day chaos? How can I keep focused on the future? And really, each mother that I worked with who recommended their child to me saw the benefit of it, passed to another mother, and so on and so on. It sort of carried on like that. And I loved the process. I love working with these young adults and inspiring them to see that there is a future for them. They have got a place in the world of work. There is somewhere they can use their skills and a more positive outlook. And I really just thought, well, gosh, there's really a need for this. It's not, they're not getting it anywhere else. There's a business opportunity for me. So I just sort of took off from there, and really I haven't been able to stop since. It's a case of, you know, if I think about stopping, I think about each child, the next child that doesn't get that opportunity to explore their options with me, and that's very hard for me to cope with. So I keep going, really, and it's just snowballed every year to the point where it's more than a full-time business for me now.
That's really amazing. So thank you for sharing that. I heard so many interesting pieces in there. One being, it sounds like you are open to opportunities. You didn't say, in 5 years, I will be X. You kind of recognize the discomfort. And it's really interesting how sometimes we don't realize how uncomfortable we are until we become comfortable. And then you say, oh my gosh, wow, I was really kind of sitting up straight and not really easing into myself. And it sounds like when you got to Dubai, you got to really ease into yourself and then just said, how do I provide value?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it's really that process of getting to know myself was a revelation to me. Lots of things I found out about myself, which I probably think in the past I was trying to change because I had probably been taught that they were faults. My preference for being an introvert, my preference for structure, my intuition, my ability to observe, those kind of things, I didn't see them as being positives or useful in the world of work. And it wasn't until I got to that kind of environment, like, oh, gosh, now I can use those skills in a positive way. And by knowing myself better, I was able to position myself better for opportunities because when I came back after the earthquakes, I saw this was a really nice kind of perfect storm of all my abilities and interests to set up this business. But if I didn't know myself, I wouldn't have been able to spot that opportunity. And so that was the learning for me, that if I could teach other people to know themselves better, especially young adults, the self-awareness, when you know yourself, then you can say, now I can see where I can place myself to do my best work. Now I can keep open to opportunities along those lines and not just ignore them as they pass me by. So it was kind of that learning that I got from that I thought I could I could teach other young adults to have that and not take the 15 years that I took to find my career, you know, which I don't regret. But, you know, it did have some, I remember as a young adult, the angst about it and the impact it had at times on my self-esteem and confidence. I don't want that for my own children. I don't want that for other young adults. And so that's my big driver to try and avoid that, you know, get into your best niche early on and do great work from the start rather than try a whole lot of things. And maybe by the time you're 40, you might have fallen into something that's interesting. Right. That's not really the best way to approach a work career plan.
Yeah, and I don't think the work you're doing is so important because I don't think that society and kind of the rules we put on ourselves are necessarily to reflect and get to know yourself better. It's those things like you said, you weren't happy when you were in the military, but you were saying, okay, I must go back to school, right? I must get this external knowledge about other things to help me. And I so often speak to people that that's their first thing. I think I should change jobs and probably go back to school because it's just right where we're taught for the first 25 years of our lives. It's like, school's the thing, go to school, do this work and get more education instead of tune into what you enjoy and who you are and, you know, have that self-reflection time.
Yes, I totally agree. You know, the there's different versions of learning, isn't there, and building knowledge. And we love the science. Most people love the science of learning and love what in their specialist field, the science of that. But what about the science of you, the science of how you tick, the science of how you think and operate and how you believe? I think there needs to be more focus on that kind of science. And I love that kind of stuff. I love the science of how people think and believe and how they act and how they behave and how they make choices around work. It's really interesting to me because with all the jobs in the world of work, we don't all choose the same job. We've all got different preferences. And so, and you know, you all know this, that the most successful people in the world of work are those who've got the best self-awareness. It's not those who've got the most qualifications or the highest IQ. It's those who know themselves best, because when you know yourself, you know how to react to situations. You can, when you're facing a challenge at work, you know what you're typically like to behave like, and you know how to adjust or adapt to that. You know where to put yourself to do your best work. You know how you're likely to react to certain people or situations. And so those kind of people are what employers want.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I also use an assessment with the adults that I work with, and I often lead with talking about the assessment of saying, it's not going to say you should be an architect and then that's the end of the conversation when you just go pursue a degree in architecture, which is what we all kind of want, is just somebody to give us an answer. And it's unfortunately not that simple, and it's way more powerful when you do that reflection. But when you do your test, your psychometric test, I'd imagine yours also doesn't say you should be an architect. What are the kinds of things that people learn about themselves and like, I guess, what does that process look like?
So, yeah, it'd be lovely if they could fill out my career questionnaire and out pops one career. And I often joke this. This is part of my introduction with each student, say, look, it would be lovely if you filled it out and out comes, you know, you should be a hairdresser. I don't care whether you like it or not. That's just what you should do. But you know, we are way more complex than that. So I paint the picture in terms of there's four pieces of the puzzle as to who everybody is in the world of work. And one is your personality, because we need to find our people. We're driven to work with people who are similar to us. So we can identify what that personality of that student is. Chances are they'll want to work in an environment where other people with a similar personality work. So that's a big piece of the puzzle. The second piece of the puzzle is their interests, identifying the top interests they've got in the world of work, because some of those interests could be so strong they could lead to a career, and others could just be strong enough that they should be a hobby in their life. And it's important we differentiate between those, because I often work with students and they might say, I love music at school. And so the parents or the student think that they should have a music career, but maybe their interest isn't strong enough for that. It's just a nice escape for them from the academic world, or it's a chance for them to be introvert. It's about exploring all those so they don't end up trying to turn a hobby into a career when it's not viable for them. And the third piece of the puzzle is their motivation for working. The questionnaire tells me what motivates them to work, and we're all motivated by different things. I'm motivated by the need to help. Others could be motivated by the need to sell or to persuade people. Others by the need to be the leader. Others by the need to take risks. Others by the need to be creative. So we need to identify what that is for the student. And the last piece of the puzzle is their personal work style, the way they like to work. So things like, do they prefer to work with people or information? Do they like to work on teams or not? Do they prefer to be a direct leader or a leader by example? Do they like to take risks or not? And so with all those four pieces of puzzle, as I help the student understand what they've said about themselves, it sort of maps across onto sort of career paths and a pattern emerges, and it won't pop out with those jobs. It'll say, okay, what is the career field that's most interesting to you? Let's stick within that and explore tertiary courses, university, polytech, courses that fit that, or career fields that could fit that. And it might mean some further exploration, but at least we know what the career field was we're looking at. So it does narrow it down to that side.
It's really amazing. What a holistic approach to getting to, you know, that specific job title, right? It's actually backing way up before you drill down and funnel down to what is the industry, what is the role perhaps, but really
absolutely.
Knowing you.
Yes, it's that know thyself better, and then the career choices become obvious. You know, we also talk about their mission in the world of work, because that pattern comes out. And so it's about helping that student I get to know themselves better. And most of the time they go, oh, yes, I knew that about. So, oh, yes, that's good. Yes, yes. Most of the time it's not a surprise, but it's hard for them to articulate. And a lot of the time they know what they don't like in the world of work, but they can't articulate why either. But I can show them why that's the case. And the other thing I do with the young adults, I coach the parents with them as well, because at that age the parents have a big impact, and they've often got an agenda, right or wrong. And so if I coach the parents as well, then I get that agenda on the table, and then I can say to the parent, okay, so you thought, you know, being a police officer was a good idea. I can show you why that doesn't come out as the best fit for this young student, for your child. It's a moderate interest, but it's not their strongest interest. And so then the parents get on board what they're really interested in, and they tend to drop that agenda.
Yeah, because there's the piece of the thing I should do, right? And then the thing my parents think I should do.
Yes,
and then there's
yes.
also the romantic piece of, you know, I should be a professional basketball player. Right, which happens is like, should you maybe? But let's look and see how your strengths and these four puzzle pieces align with a professional basketball career.
Absolutely, yes, and just doing the quick career questionnaire isn't enough in itself, because, for example, it doesn't test their ability. So I have to overlay on that. It might come out that, say, law is their strongest interest, but they struggle with essay writing. Okay, well, let's put that off the table. And they might say, okay, I want to be a doctor. It's come through as maybe medical science is their strongest interest, but they're worried about the pressure that comes from competing to get it selected for that. Okay, so there has another way we can meet the medical science interest. It's about practical solutions to that. I deal with a lot of students, particularly in Christchurch here, who post the earthquakes. They said, I want to do a degree, but I want to get out of Christchurch. I need a break from the stress of it all. And so it was putting that into the factor, putting that into the mix. Okay, there's a degree you could do here in Christchurch, but if that doesn't fit, let's find a degree that will work for you in another part of the country. So it's overlaying all those things to get to a solution that's possible for them, not one that works for me or one that works sounds good for their parents, one that works for that young student they're actually going to follow through and get excited about and get into and pick up and run with and know their place and be excited about their future. That's where the solution lies for me.
Yeah. And, you know, so much of this is coming to, there's not a quick answer. And that's true for anybody making a career decision. It's very rare that there's that snap judgment. Mm-hmm. Now you know what should happen without some work leading up to it. So how long are you working with students to get from, I don't know what I want to do, to I'm applying for this program?
It's reasonably quick in terms of knowing themselves. Once they do the questionnaire online, which takes them about 30 minutes, I have that 90-minute coaching session with them with the student and their parents, and that's done in person if they're here in Christchurch, or we do it on Skype if it's outside Christchurch, because I work with students right across New Zealand. And then after that 90 minutes, they've usually know what they need to do. I might send them some links to some courses that they hadn't thought about, which could be a good fit for them, or some links to some more knowledge about certain career paths that they hadn't thought about. But usually they can pick it up and run with it. They usually say, okay, that's along the lines of what I was thinking about. I need to just go and drill into that degree structure a little bit more detail to make sure it excites me. Or maybe I need to, now you've mentioned a career, I do know somebody who's in that, maybe I'll go and talk to that person and just see if that sparks me, or see if I can get some work experience there, and really just build on that. And most of the time, they pick it up and run with it. Those that don't, I say, okay, maybe there's something coming through the questionnaire, because it's a psychological profile, it can pick up other things. If there's other things coming through that are impacting them, I say, okay, maybe I need to talk to you in 6 months' time and say where you're going. Maybe we need to have a touch base in this time next year when you're about to select your courses. Or maybe let's talk after that you've had your first semester at university, just to make sure that you're feeling okay about things. So it does differ per student, but most of them, 90% of them, once they've had that coaching session, they're off and running and the parents are on board. And then I usually just hear back from the parents that they've signed up for the course and they're excited, and the parents relieved that they don't have that stress of uncertainty anymore.
Yeah, yeah. You touch on that 90-minute coaching piece being such an important part. I think that, especially because you mentioned that it's never a huge surprise. So I know I've done this, you share with me if you have too, but if you take those tests so often and you say, yep, that sounds like me, and then it goes into a drawer.
Yeah,
we don't actually do the activities. We don't talk to someone about it. We say, well, yep, I don't know what to do with that. But there's so much value that comes with actually talking about it and doing all the stuff that's wrapped around it.
Yes, I totally agree. And I don't support every psychometric profile. Some of them I don't believe in, but this one that I use, I love, because it's so detailed and it's constantly updating as the world of work evolves. And there's lots of tests and checks to make sure that they're an honest reflection. But I always say that a psychometric profile is only as powerful as a person giving the feedback.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the gold is. If a person can say, how does this impact you? Because how one result works for one person won't be the same as the other. And so it's about how that student relates to it. Is it realistic? Are there still things they're not sure about? Are they willing to pick it up and run with it? Are there still challenges that we need to deal with after that? So it's a really personalized approach. And that's why, you know, I love it, because it's just about that student's, what they've said is most exciting to them in the world of work. It's not like I've got together with their mother and said, right, let's convince them to be a teacher. This is what the student has said. And once I tell them that, it's very hard for them to say, but no, I'm not like that. No, that's not me. I don't know why you're suggesting it. So, well, this is what you've said about yourself. There's nothing in the psychometric profile that says you've been lying, you've been consistent. So let's go with it. And what the student tells me and what they don't tell me is just as valuable. Those ones that are kind of meh about everything, or really say, oh yeah, I think that's me, or perhaps that's me, or I don't know, or possibly, you know, that indecision or uncertainty suggests that, okay, maybe I need to partner you with you a bit closer after the Chintashin. Maybe I need to, yep, that's cool, I'm on board, I know that is me, that's I needed that confidence, I needed that just confirmation of what I'm doing to give me the kick to get going. So I'm off and running. I don't need you anymore. So each child is different in that way.
Yeah. And there is that factor. If you're confronted with something that doesn't align with the story you've created about who you are, geez, that would take some time to just absorb and confront, I guess, a little bit of like, I've said in my mind, I'm these things, but this might actually be different than, you know, my persona.
Yes, that's possible. And the surprising thing I found is that it very rarely happens with the student that it's a parent that has to get to the new way of thinking to say, oh, okay, my idea of this career, I can see why it doesn't work, but it's going to need a bit of time just to let go. And so, you know, sometimes it's just checking with them. How are you sitting, mum or dad? Are you okay with all this? Can you handle this? So, you know, as we get older, we get a bit more fearful. And of course, we're fearful for our children in terms of potential failure. And sometimes that comes through really strongly with parents. And so that part of the coaching is just getting them on board, you know, encouraging them to trust their child. They know themselves well. Just go with it. You don't have to have all the answers. Just support them. I'm here to help. You know, what a wonderful future they've got. Let's let them fly, kind of coaching them to encourage, to embrace that side of things. It's hard for some of them.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Mm. That parents are supposed to have all the answers, right?
Yes.
Are you saying that they don't?
No, they don't. Absolutely. And that's the big driver I find behind my business, is I've realized that the parent, and you know, it's only natural, is that because in the absence of any better information, we just advise our children based on the thinking we had when we were at school. And lots of change. You know, when we're at school, certainly in New Zealand, parents were encouraged to say, okay, look at the tasks in the job. Would you like to do the tasks? Mm-hmm. And the modern theory of the world of work is that we want to work with people like us. And so parents are still looking at those old paradigms and things like they're saying, well, you can't go wrong with a trade, you know, go and be a builder or a plumber or an electrician. Well, of course, every country needs those trades, but not every person wants to be a tradesman. And the old paradigms of things like math, science and English should be the subjects that everybody takes right through to the end of high school. But that doesn't apply anymore. IT is as important. Business is as important. The creative arts are as important. So it's just getting them to think, change their mind around those kind of things and be open to a modern way of thinking about careers. That's part of the process I use.
Yeah, and that's a great point of things are changing every day. So how does this work that you're doing, helping people plan for their careers, how does that fit in with the fact that people are actually changing careers a lot? And, you know, we all talk about how whatever percentage we've read in the newspaper today of jobs that our children will have aren't yet invented. So how does that all reconcile itself?
Yeah, it does take a bit of getting across to parents. You know, I know jobs are evolving and changing, but they're not changing that much that we can't foresee, you know, wit. It's not like a child would do a degree and then by the time they've graduated, that a whole new job has appeared or a whole career that they're thinking has disappeared. You know, we'll see the signs of that. I was reading the other day about how, regardless of how the work is changing, the knowledge work, which is work of the head, you know, cognitive skills, problem solving, those kind of things, those jobs will never disappear because, you know, robots can't replicate a lot of that if they're concerned about that. And so by 2030, 80%, 86% of jobs will be around knowledge work. So regardless of the study, if you're developing those skills of cognitive thinking, problem solving, analysis, you know, real world stuff, then there'll be work there that will allow you to do that. The other work that is evolving is this work of the heart, which is about interpersonal relationships, about dealing with feelings, dealing with how people interact with each other. Those things, those kind of roles, again, won't go out of fashion. So, you know, it's less about the subjects specifically that students do at university in their tertiary studies, and more about those softer skills that they could develop, which means that they can adapt to whatever they face. And people say, a lot of parents, I do hear them say, oh, you know, most kids these days when they graduate, they'll have 10 or 12 careers in their life. So what's the point of doing a career search? They should just pick one. But we don't, within the jobs that we have over a lifetime, they're within a similar field. It's not like you would graduate as a hairdresser and do 5 years as a hairdresser, then jump over and be an engineer and the next minute be a statistician or something. You know, we'll all be within that field. You might start off as a hairdresser and then you might say, okay, now I'll go to business management because I'll own a hairdressing. And then maybe I'll go into teaching other hairdressers. And then maybe I'll go into selling products around hairdressing. You know, so it's all related to those fields. So you can say they're different careers, but it's still within that sphere of, you know, the creative hairdressing side of life. So we don't change that significantly greatly across careers.
That's such a great point. And that in those four pieces of the puzzle, your personality, your interests, your motivation, your personal work style, they're not tied to a job title. You know, so even if the job title doesn't exist yet, you know, those core pieces of knowing who you are still going to be as applicable today as they are in 10 or 20 or 30 years.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. I totally agree. And that's why I say part of the coaching I do is saying embracing who you are. It doesn't have to be about the job title, but just recognize that this kind of work, this kind of purpose and motivation is where you do your best work. So stay in that niche. So when your friends say, oh, come and work in this job here because the pay is good. Well, the pay might be good for about 2 weeks, but then if you're not doing your great work, you're going to get bored. So don't, you can say to them, look, it's not my field. It's not my niche. I'm not going to get pulled across there just because the pay is good. And about helping them sort those decisions. So, you know, I can't predict what those students will do in 10 years' time, but if they know themselves well through this profile, hopefully their decision-making is better because of it, because they know themselves, they know where to stay in their sweet spot, where they're doing their best work, and that's what we should all be doing.
Yeah. My joke is always about being an investment banker. Like, it would be nice to want to be an investment banker. They make money, right? We all think that money is the important thing, even though oftentimes it's not. They make money. They work in specific fields. It's like a title that everyone vaguely understands. But yes, at the end of the day, you know, if you wouldn't be a happy investment banker, it doesn't much matter.
No, exactly. Yes. Yep. And a lot of parents think their young adults are just picking jobs because of money, but that's not what I'm seeing. It's not what the studies are showing. And so it is, they can be quite disparaging about, you know, well, just find a job where you make a lot of money. Well, that doesn't work. It doesn't keep people happy. And so, you know, I've realized a part of my role has become that I become an advocate for young adults when you've got an older generation disparaging that they're all just focused on, you know, making lots of money and getting avocado and toast every day. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the case. You know, the studies show that these young adults, they want to do great work. They really want to find their purpose. They want to work for a mission that's bigger than themselves. They don't want to just make chocolate bars if it's just going to make the world fat. But if it's chocolate bars that are sustainable and fair trade and perhaps give back to a community, then they can get on board that. So it's really advocating for them to say, let's help them do their best work. Why not? You know, because when they do well, we're all happy.
Absolutely. And that's such a great segue to your newest endeavor, the Kids Matter NZ, where you're really going to the next level of supporting parents and students. Can you share what that's looked like and some of the things you're teaching about there?
Yeah, sure. So I realized that a lot of the students that I work with, I just focus on the careers and that's where I love my work. But a lot of them present with other issues, maybe behavioral issues, or maybe they've had traumas in the past, or maybe they've got challenges they're trying to overcome. And it requires maybe some counseling or maybe some work in the heart. And I have other people that I refer to. And particularly, I have one coach, Amanda Staniford, here in Christchurch, that I refer those that are dealing with behavioral issues or maybe issues around their motivation or challenges with their parents, those kind of things. And so between her and I, we share a lot of business, and we realize that the parenting model that is being used by a lot of parents is outdated and it's not working for them. And that's because parents, and I've done it myself, you know, it's easy to get into mode where what you do is you give your child a whole lot of information, you throw a whole lot of stuff at them. This is what you should do. Have you thought about that? This is what you need to be doing. All this kind of outside in stuff. And the child feels overwhelmed, and I see that in their career explorations, that they fear that they're not making the best solution, so they make no decision about their careers. So we're trying to teach the approach of inside out, where if we help the child get to know themselves better, if we help them learn tools and strategies and approaches that can work for them, then based on that knowledge that they've got within themselves, then they can approach situations or challenges with a solution that they've come up with, rather than this outside in where it's just piling on information and they're overwhelmed with, you know, they get enough from the internet, let alone from their parents and schools. So we're just trying to change that thinking to empower the young adult and the child with tools from the inside, so then they can make better decisions themselves. And then as they move through to adulthood, they're better equipped to cope, rather than looking forward to their parents for solutions or looking to externally for praise. They've got all the tools within them, and they can move into adulthood quite easily. So that's been our approach around that, just trying to encourage this different kind of thinking. And we're just doing seminars across Canterbury at this stage, and we hope to roll them out across New Zealand just to get people starting to think about how they're approaching their parenting of their children.
Wow. And the parents that are attending some of those seminars, what are they sharing with you, or like their key takeaways or things that have been a surprise to them?
Well, certainly the fact that they feel like they haven't been very effective in terms of seeking solutions from their children, and it doesn't mean that they have to accept everything their children says, but getting them involved in the process. What do you think about that? What do you think the best solution could be? We tend to often, for expediency, just say, tell the child what to do, give them the solution, and then they're always looking to us for their solutions. But that doesn't equip them for when they move into adulthood. So there's a lot around that. And it is about identifying core things which come through as a child. It's not about what they're good at. It's about, regardless of where the child is, encouraging their love of curiosity, encouraging their love of learning, and then noticing what those children take notice of, because they are skills that they are developing. Whereas it's easy for parents to get hung up on what they achieved and what their academic ability is. It's not about that. That makes them good people. That's one factor, but it's about, you know, what kind of soul they're developing, what kind of personality they're developing, so that people want to work with them. They've got something to offer. They've got their own opinion. They're their own person, and it's about recognizing that that child is an entity in themselves. They're not just an extension of us as a parent, and just changing that thinking around that, really.
It's interesting. What comes up for me as you're sharing that, we talk about old models of parenting and also old models of managing, right? I worked in an organization recently where they were struggling because all the managers, whenever someone went to a manager with a problem, the manager would either give a solution or say, leave it with me, I'll take care of it. And right. So the people in the organization, that they weren't developing critical thinking skills. They weren't even thinking beyond like, oh, this is a challenge. Now it's not, right? Now it's just away.
Yes.
So they struggled with developing career goals and plans. And I see that a lot with people who are saying, but my manager should be telling me what my career progression is, right? Or children are saying, but my parents should tell me what I'm good at. But I love these four puzzle pieces. I think are some really great anchors for parents to not say like, okay, it's academia, it's me giving answers, but just what could I notice here? Okay, I could notice the personality, interests, motivation, style, work style. There are things that I think you innately notice, but when you wrap words around them, it can feel like a much better framework to understand what's happening.
Absolutely, yes. And there's a couple of anecdotal examples that I use for that. Is that when I was a child, I would notice people's body language or what was not said between the lines, or how moods were, or how people said things that they didn't think and they didn't come across as they didn't really mean them. Those kind of things were interesting to me, fascinating as a child. And I thought everybody thought that way. And it wasn't until I, got into the second career and when I went to Dubai that I realized that intuition, ability to observe and just read things, was a skill that I could have, if I'd known that earlier, I could have embraced that and developed that more strongly. But nobody pointed it out to me. And so I, with my own children, I've made sure I don't talk about what they've achieved. I talk about what they take notice of. And a classic example for us is, as a family, we love the movies. And so whenever we go to a movie, we always have a discussion period out afterwards about what we thought about it, what our views were. And I noticed that, like my older child, he would always talk about perhaps the plot and how there was gaps in it. Some of it didn't make sense because you couldn't logically do something, or some of the technical special effects he was quite fascinated with. He would talk about that sort of the analytical approach to reviewing the movie. My youngest child, he always look at the storyline and think about how they they went from one scene to another and how they showed that in a different way, or how they expressed a view or opinion or a perspective in a different way. And he loved all that sort of side of things. So the message he was always focusing on, I was always observing the people and what they didn't say or how they behaved or what how they interacted with each other. So we each came from looking at the movie from a different perspective. And it doesn't mean we should be in the movie industry. It's just that on that subject, this is how we came at it. Do you know what I mean? And it's reflected in how I deal with people. I love that side of things. It's where my work is. My oldest son, he's in the analytical, he's a software engineer. So he loves that analysis of the technical side of things. And my youngest child, he's trying to work in the film and television production. So he's interested in the storytelling around it. So you can see how they link to your careers. And if parents notice those kind of things early on with the child and say, oh, it's interesting how you looked at the people and thought about those, I hadn't thought about that, or it's interesting how you analyze those gaps in the plot and I would never have thought about it that way, you know, so a child can start saying, oh gosh, perhaps the fact that I'm picking those up, those things up, is a skill, it's a gift of mine, I could perhaps build on that. But you know, it's as a parent, it's noticing what they take notice of is so important.
It's really exceptional to hear that story of what it looks like for your family, right? To notice those things, having the same experience, right? You're having, well, I'm using air quotes, right? You're having the yes. same experience, but you're having much different experiences in that same room and bringing such different perspectives to it. Really, really interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
That's all right.
So one of the things that you've touched on a little bit, but not so overtly, is you do a lot of work around people who are introverts and helping introverts kind of see their value. And I know you've challenged yourself a lot in the introvert arena. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience with being an introvert? And thank you again for being on this show, which is a very not introverty kind of activity. But tell us about, you know, what that looks like for you and what that's looked like for the students that you've worked with as well.
Yes. I'm certainly discovering I was an introvert probably about 10 years ago was a real eye-opener for me. I think I thought in the past that the fact that I'm comfortable on my own, I need time on my own to reflect, was probably at the one of those paradigms that I thought that I was cold, aloof, antisocial, those kind of things. And I kept trying to change it and saying, oh, I need to go and be more with people, but it was just so draining for me. And so recognizing that 50% of the world are introverts, and that's where a lot of the ideas come, and that's where you get your creativity, and that's where you do your best work when you work with people, is by having that time to reflect. It's been a real eye-opener for me, and it's how I've structured my business to make the most of that. I don't work in the morning. I have that time to myself. I make sure I only work with a few students a day, so I've got that time to reflect and process in the middle, in between, those kind of things. And I've noticed that it comes up a lot in the discussions that I have with parents. It wasn't something I intended to be part of the career conversation, but it comes up a lot because I often hear, and unfortunately it comes a lot with mothers who are very social and interactive because of the role of a mother. They often say, he needs to be more extroverted, he needs to be more like me, he needs to be blah, he needs to be this. And I often say, hang on, just wait. You know, if this child is an introvert, we need to be embracing that and encouraging them to be themselves and not trying to tell them to be somebody they're not, because you can't sustain that. And it sends a bad message to a child that says something wrong with who you are, you need to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. And often it comes, unfortunately, from the school system, and particularly, you know, I don't know what it's like in the States, but here in New Zealand, the schools value the extrovert person, yes. Those that will speak up at assembly, those that will be the team leader, those that will run, be the captain of the sports teams, those that will do debating or run the production, those kind of things. And they tend to be people who are very get a lot of stimulation from being around a lot of people. But it's the schools don't value the introverts. So it's easy for students to go through school thinking there's something wrong with them. And I say it's a fault of the school to not to recognise that there are two different styles there. And you know, the example I give is my oldest son is an introvert, and I don't know, I think if I had a dollar for every time a parent said to me at a parent teacher interview, your child needs to speak up more in class. And I'd say, why? You know, why? And it turns out it's more about keeping the teacher happy because they want somebody to talk to. I said, well, as long as he's taking in the information and reflecting and doing the work and coming back with answers, you know, in a quiet time when he's got an occasion, that should be all that matters. But they don't like it. They feel insecure if the students aren't constantly interacting. But that's not how introverts work.
Yeah. Yeah, I recently was speaking with a parent who shared with me, oh, you know, my child isn't interacting so much. And there's this student on the playground and he comes up and he talks to all the parents and, you know, he's so boisterous and, you know, that kid's going to go far. That kid will be really successful. And I thought, oh, we got to really watch this. And I didn't just think that. I said that to her and challenged that idea a little bit, because we need to challenge those ideas a little bit, just like you challenging the teacher saying, really, is that what's important? Like, why is that important? And because that teacher will now think of things a little bit differently and share with their colleagues how things could be a little bit different. But if we're not giving people that little poke of like, let's look at that. Is that what we really mean? That's such a valuable tool too.
It is, yes, and it's a chance for them to say, hey, is this really about my child, or is this just about you? You know, you know, what do you need to be happy in the world of work? So, yeah, it is a challenge in terms of introverts and those that embrace it. When I talk with the parents and they get it, they go, oh my gosh, I see it. One I was working with recently, and the child, when he came home from school, he would go and spend a lot of time playing the piano. And, you know, he loved it. And so his mother thought he needs a career in music. But the more we explored it, we recognized that he's an introvert. And that was his time on his own. He lived in the city, so he couldn't go for a walk. So he'd go and play on the piano. And that was his way of signaling, I'm on the piano. Don't bother me. I need some time to myself. And so it's easy to misconstrue that as saying, oh, he needs a career in music. And yet nothing in his career profile came through as being into music. He actually identified with computer science, and he'd never thought about that. And once he realized that, he changed his subjects and he's off on computer science and he's going to do it at university next year. So, you know, what a revelation that was for him in terms of he would have been pushed down this music path by his parents thinking that was the way forward. And yet it was something quite different that sparked him. And they confused the introvert, extrovert thing.
My goodness, I'm sure that many listeners are sharing the experience that I'm having. I had a big smile on my face as you were sharing that story, because those things that you just wouldn't notice, you wouldn't see unless you were looking for them. You look at that obvious thing in front of you.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just takes somebody objective. You know, I say to the parents, I don't have a horse in this race. I'm not emotionally involved. Mm-hmm. So I can point out things that perhaps you hadn't noticed. I can challenge where perhaps you can't challenge. I can tell the student, your child, things that probably you've told them, but they don't want to listen to you. But and I can be the person you can, when I leave, you can say, what did Tracy say to you? What did the profile say? So you can put it all on me. But sometimes you just need that objective person to come in and say, hey, you know, is this really what they want? Or is this just what you want?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes it's a difficult conversation, but I'm happy to have it, because it's about advocating for the child, what they want, what they said is interesting. I need to keep focused on that and say, this is why I'm pushing back, because this is not what they say they wanted. You think they do it, but it's nothing coming through in the profile supporting it. So we need to move on and focus on what they want.
And sometimes it's like, I know you, like me, do work with people with resumes and things like that, and addressing CVs, but it's like, I use this analogy of just, sometimes you just need that outside perspective, right? You're so in the weeds of your life and the words of your CV and your cover letter and all that. And it's just having, if you can do it yourself, wonderful. Or if you can get support, just having that zoom out. And I think that's been such a theme as we've talked about today, of like zooming out to really understand what's next and what will make you happy.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's taking that time. How often do we sit there for a couple of hours and just talk about what works for us or what we need? We're probably taught that it's a bit selfish, but it's not. It's valuable time if it sets you off on the right path.
Yeah, and what a gift to give people that time and listening. Oh, I want to give you more time in listening. And I wish we had a marathon show today. But as we're just wrapping up, I want to thank you so much for your time. And could you share with people where they could get a little more information? I know your
website is careermatters.co.nz, careermatters.co.nz. And for the Kids Matter NZ work that I do in terms of parenting styles, that's kidsmatternz.co.nz. So a couple of websites there, and I'm on Facebook as well at Career Matters NZ. So happy to connect with people and answer any other questions that they've got.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And we'll make sure that those websites are also listed on the show recap page, so they're really, really easy for everyone to find. Well, thank you again for joining me, Tracy. And we thank all of our listeners for tuning in today. And we're wishing you all a successful search and a great day. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.